Welcome to episode 15 of the Hot Mess Roundtable. This week we're talking all about things I wish I knew in my 20s. And Lauren's not able to be with us this week. She's at home being a mom, so we wish her the best of luck and send her lots of love this week. But we have a very special guest host joining us in her place. I'd like to introduce our Hot Mess community to my mom, who we've talked about many times. Welcome to the podcast, KK.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, my name is Jordan, and I'm a hot mess this week because I completely screwed up the eclipse glasses I was supposed to have this week.
What?
Well, last week, I guess, we had the eclipse.
Right.
And I went out of my way months before the eclipse even came. Literally 6 weeks before the eclipse came, I ordered eclipse glasses on Amazon because, you know, I don't like to go to the store.
I know.
And so I ordered them on Amazon, and I had two pairs, one for me and one for Thor. And I was like, this is great. We're going to be all set for the eclipse. I still don't know where they are.
You still don't have them?
No. And I put them somewhere. I did one of those, I'm going to put these here, and that way they won't get lost, and we'll have them for the eclipse.
So you got them, but in your cleaning that you do, you put them somewhere, and now you don't know where they're at.
Completely screwed that up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so then, Thor was so disappointed, too. He was like, are we really not going to have the glasses? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
You should have gone to Sonic.
What? Oh, did they give them out for free?
Sonic was giving out the eclipse glasses if you got the blackout slush.
Oh, well, I didn't do that. But my husband, who is a saint, goes to the store the day of the eclipse, buys glasses, comes running in, and breezes in from work, hands me glasses at 10 a.m., breezes back out.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had glasses, but I was a hot mess.
Well, you could have come to work because there was a whole shindig there.
Could have.
Didn't want to. But yeah, I know.
I was enjoying my work from home.
There you go.
But yeah. I did end up with glasses. It was good.
Yeah. Did you go to the one at work?
No, I was on the road home from Kentucky with Jolie. Oh. We stopped on the side of the road and watched.
Safe with a 9-year-old.
Well, we pulled off onto one of those outer roads with no outlets. So we were safe.
In Kentucky. My girls always tell me stories about Kentucky. They don't like it.
Well, when you're at a cheerleading convention, you don't see much of Kentucky. But we did. That's this true. Time. We went to Churchill Downs and we had a good time.
Good deal.
But we were on the road and we saw all the traffic headed towards the eclipse going south out of 55 out of St. Louis. And we were coming home.
Oh, good. You weren't in it.
No.
Nice.
Good work.
Well, my name is Amanda and I am a hot mess this week because we are in preparation of our big St. Louis trip next weekend.
Oh, very exciting.
So we don't go north very often. It's not something, I just don't. We just don't go up to north to Kansas City or St. Louis a lot. But we are going to a concert.
Yay.
We are going to see Greta Van Fleet, Emily's most favorite band ever. And we are going, Cliff, I, Cameron, and Jacob are going. Jada's mom and dad and her sister are going. All of the girls from Judy Nation. Shout out to my Judy girls. We are all meeting, and we are going to see what this whole Greta thing is about.
I love it. That'll be so fun for you guys. And what a good bonding experience.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be very bittersweet, very amazing. And we're just trying to get in preparation for it. So when we come back and talk on our next podcast, maybe the next one, I'll have to just fill you in because I just know it's going to be amazing. So, and we're trying to get a few little surprises in there. So hopefully we get them and I'll have to share them with you guys. But
oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
it does sound fun.
So it'll be good. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to get everything ready and done. And
it's stressful doing big trips, especially when you're the planner of the big trip. And you're trying to get everybody together and make sure everybody has the special time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I got our hotels booked yesterday.
Nice.
So that was...
That's a big weight.
That's a big weight. Yeah. I text Cliff. I'm like, thank God they're booked. And he goes, good. We don't have to worry about that. So, yeah. So that's what we are. I don't want to say it's a big hot mess, but that's what we are in preparation for right now, is just getting all that ready. But we are so busy enjoying the sunshine that I don't want to do anything else but sit outside.
Right. Yeah.
I'm KK and I'm a hot mess this week because I'm sitting here forced into this. Way out of my comfort zone. But here we are. We'll see how this goes.
Forced. Forced is a strong word.
Oh, I said coerced.
Coerced. Okay. That probably matches. That's fine.
It's fun. We're glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Okay, what are we drinking this week, Amanda?
Well, Cliff actually found these when we went to the grocery store this weekend because we still physically go to the store. And they are Arizona Premium Spiked Beverages. So if you are familiar with Arizona teas, they have the lemon, like the half and half tea, lemonade, or an iced tea. They've got a green tea with ginseng. And then I believe Jordan has the peach tea.
I do. I have peach. So KK's got lemon and
KK's
you've got...
KK's got lemon ginseng. And I have the green tea with ginseng and honey. So
I love it.
Cliff approves. He was really actually kind of sad that I took that lemon one. But I told him I'd get him some more. So
thanks, Cliff.
We got these this weekend. Let's see how they are.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's good. It's like a good... KK is making a face. She's not loving it.
Oh, it's okay.
This is a safe space where you're allowed to freely express your opinions.
Yeah, didn't you hear, Jordan? She does not like the bourbon drinks.
Yeah, I knew. I couldn't even believe she was trying that.
These are good. These are pretty smooth.
Yeah. I'll bet you those would be really good on some ice going down the river when it's like 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, in my world, it'd be like floating around my aunt's pool.
Floating around.
But yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. It'll be hot out.
Same thing. So, yeah. So good pick, babe. These are good.
Good job, Cliff. All right. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about with feedback from our own guest host who has taken issue with some of the things we've said about her over the podcast. So, KK, give us your feedback.
Well, let's talk about the Easter eggs.
Okay, so I started the balloons because, you know, this Pinterest, you see things on Pinterest. And I started the balloons when JoJo was her first real Easter. So she'd have been just over a year old. Mm-hmm. And we blew them up with the helium, you know, and
miserable.
Tied them off. And it
miserable.
Was a lot, like 100 balloons. And Jordan, like, swore she'd never help me again, but she did.
For a few years. I did stop eventually because that is miserable and it's not worth it.
But the first year or two, they were so pretty. And, you know, tie the little ribbon on them and tape them to the egg and then put them out in the yard. And it was pretty and she'd go mm-hmm. out there and get them. And then Maggie came along and they loved it. And now it's not really because so they can find the eggs like it was. It's just so pretty out there. So then I got smart a few years ago, realized the dollar store blows those up for a buck.
Oh, there you go.
And so I would just buy them. So this year I bought 50 balloons. I put them out, taped them to the eggs. Jeff
Jordan,
and Josh,
you did not help?
No,
she gave up. She's like, I'm out, like years ago.
Years ago, literal years ago, because she acts like they're so pretty. I've never seen that year. I've never seen the year that this worked without a massive fiasco.
Well, I learned that the Mylar are way better because the wind blows and they touch the ground, then they pop. And those other, the Mylars, they don't pop.
Oh, okay.
So I've gone to those the last few years. Well, this year it was like super windy.
Yeah.
And there was, and literally Jeff and Josh put them out way before they should have. And then they come driving down the road and they see the balloon.
Are they like,
we're driving down the road. We're like a quarter mile. We're like passing my aunt's house. And my husband looks up and he goes, is that one of KK's balloons? And I was like, I bet it is. And we're driving. All you see are these pink and purple heart and star shaped balloons scattered. And the neighbor across the street from her, it looked like somebody egged their yard for them with these balloons.
Yeah, because not only the balloons blew away,
the eggs
blew away too.
Yeah.
But one out of those 50 balloons made it. And so I have a picture of little Maggie carrying this one balloon. That's so pathetic this
Aww.
Year.
I am incredibly glad that you're on here sharing this because now everybody knows I am not exaggerating this. Like, this is real life.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But I'm going to figure it out next year. And I don't care if there's a tornado coming. The balloons are going to be in the backyard when everybody gets there.
Did you hear what I suggested? The glow in the dark. When the kids get a little, like it. Well, Jolie and Maggie could totally do it. But Beckett, too.
Yeah. They're all well past the balloon
But
days.
You would they have to do it at do night or like at, you know, dusk. And just you put the glow sticks in an egg.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
But, still doing the balloons. I guarantee.
You just need to start throwing some big eggs with the little shooters in it for the big kids.
I know, right? I put little jars of Nutella in the eggs this year because they all like Nutella.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Trying to get, you know.
I put that in Cameron and Jacob's baskets, too.
There you go.
Did you get the little tiny? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to address the shopping rumors?
Nope. I'm going to own it. I don't care. I still work. I like to
That's
shop.
That's right.
Yep.
I can usually tell you where a good deal is.
Yeah. On Sunday, she tried to tell us that she doesn't shop as much as we say on the podcast. And literally every family member in the room looked at her like she had grown a third eyeball.
Jeff acted like he was choking. So I was like, okay, then I'm just going to own it.
That's right. You should own it, KK. Yeah. This woman shops so much that...
Not that much.
Okay, I'll tell you the story and then you can tell me, Amanda. We recently have been working on cleaning out her closet because it was real rough. And so we cleaned out her closet. 1 week we did purses, 1 week we did shoes. So we're pulling all the purses out. And this woman has so many designer purses that she's purchased over the last 15 or so years that...
45 years.
Okay. Sure. That was a random number, but whatever. Okay. So however long. She has so many designer purses that she's purchased and then not carried, just put in her closet.
They still have tags and everything on it? Or in the dust bag?
Some of them did. And all of them are in dust bags, but that's more just because that's proper storage.
Yeah.
But she has so many purses that she's bought over the years that literally I came home with 3 or 4 bags because they were bags that one of them, I came home with this beautiful red Kate Spade bag because she had a Dooney that looked just like it and didn't realize she'd bought a Kate Spade and a Dooney and Burke that looked exactly the same.
I was just in here thinking, KK, I probably need to come raid those Kate Spades.
Yeah. And so I got to take home the Kate Spade because obviously the Dooney is going to be a much nicer bag, right? But like they're basically the exact same style.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have like I bet that bag's $1,000 hanging up on my coat rack that I'm using right now. A Dooney and Burke, beautiful burgundy boho that she's just like, I just have too many bags. I'm not ever going to carry it. And I was like, I'll take it.
You can share some with me.
Well, guess what, Jordan? I found the billfold that matches it.
Oh, see?
You can have that.
Because she's a professional shopper.
Yes. Yes, she is. I'll have to show you my new Kate. It's upstairs. I don't think you probably won't like it, though.
Why?
Well, Cliff picked it out.
Aw.
It has snake skin on it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, I was very.
Well, that's a hard pass.
I was so, so leery about it, but I have grown to love it. It's really pretty. I'll show you when we go upstairs. It's not real snake skin. I would freak out.
It's still just dead cow.
Well, you're carrying dead cow too. Here we go. We're going back to the dead animals. Let's turn away.
I will say that mom didn't put 2 and 2, even though we talk about snakes all the time on this podcast and being in the basement. I feel like we talked multiple times about being in this basement.
Oh yeah. And the cat came out that last week and scared the crap out of me.
I know you guys talked about snakes being in the basement, but I didn't know you guys were in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she shows up to podcast today and she's like, I have to go in the basement? No.
I'm pretty sure we've said we're down here in the basement too.
Yeah, we totally are. We have said it. So she's in the basement.
She's learning all of these things about us now.
She's real excited about it.
I'm just on the lookout is all.
As long as the cat is not coming out of there, we're okay.
Okay, good to know.
Okay, so this week we're talking all about things we wish we would have known in our 20s. So this is kind of exciting. I am really sad that Lauren won't be here because I feel like she had a much more adventurous 20s than I did.
I think she
did. I was a little bit of a sheltered child in my 20s. I feel like Lauren was not very sheltered. But I do think it'll be cool because we're from 3 different generations.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be cool to hear KK's input on, you know, what she wishes she knew in her 20s now that she's, you know.
40 years older than that.
40 years older. Oh, you were gonna tell the truth. I was going to ask if you're 49 times 15 or something.
No, I'm in my 60s.
I'll say well, you're 10 years younger than I am. Mm-hmm. So I turned 48 mm-hmm. this year. So yeah, we got a good.
Yeah, about 10 years and about 15 years. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
Okay, so how have you changed since your 20s?
Oh, I've calmed down a little bit, I think. Cliff would totally disagree with you on that.
Were you a wild child? Did you do some partying?
No, we tried to. Again, you know, I'm the Gen X girl, so we didn't have social media, so there's not a whole lot of proof of what we did, which is, thank God. That's just crazy.
You know, I really didn't either, even as a millennial. I mean, we had Facebook, but when I was in college, Facebook was this nasty thing that like you didn't really want to participate in because it was only open to college students. You had to have a college email address. Mm-hmm. And literally, KK, this is what Facebook was. Oh. You went on Facebook, you made your Facebook account, and it was just guys rating girls, like a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh. That's what Facebook was?
Correctly. Yeah.
See, I started with MySpace.
I did have a MySpace.
Cliff and I both had a MySpace page.
Yeah, but I didn't feel like I did a lot with it because I wasn't super into music.
Yeah.
Oh, I never had that.
I mean, it really wasn't just music. A lot of it was, but I mean, right. Like you could post pictures and stuff like you can on Facebook, but no, Cliff and I met when I was 15 when we met. And so we kind of grew up together, I guess. And he did way more. He did way more than I did. But I would say if there's anything I would change, I don't know. I don't think I would change anything. You know, it all molds you. It all makes you who you are. I did move away from Cliff for a year when I was 20.
To get that ring on your finger.
Well, I left and went to Oregon. Yeah, it worked. I left and went to Oregon and went to school for a little bit and then ended up coming back home to him. So we kind of had to grow a little bit there.
What does it mean when you say you've calmed down?
Again, Cliff would totally disagree with me on this, but I don't feel like I'm as high strung and wound up like I used to.
Yeah.
Being a mom, you know, that kind of changes.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. And because with the kids when they were little, it was just like, you know, you're on pins and needles and trying to make sure you do everything right. And, you know, they're 20, 22, 20 and 13, almost, you know, it's like, I can do their own thing. Now I can just kind of sit back and.
Well, now you look back and you think, I didn't have to worry so much.
Yes.
I didn't have to worry. Like, I think I would probably have let people's opinions of me not influence me as much. Wouldn't care as much now. I don't care as much now.
Yeah, I don't care as
but
much
I
now.
But I wish
either.
I would have known that in my 20s, that, you know, that nobody's life is perfect.
I will agree with you on that 100%.
A lot, I feel like, has changed for you since you were in your 20s.
Yeah, well, when I was 28, I was celebrating my 10-year wedding anniversary.
That's crazy. Because she was a teen mom. Teen bride, teen mom, all of it.
Well, I was graduated from high school. Yeah, you sound like I was 16. First child. No, Jeff and I met when I was almost 18 and we married within 11 months. Mm-hmm. And then 4 days before our first wedding anniversary, we had Josh.
Oh.
And then 11 months later had Jesse.
Yes.
So they're Irish twins. So you were like busy, busy.
Yeah.
Yes. We celebrated our first wedding anniversary at St. John's.
Oh, my gosh.
And they gave you a steak dinner and champagne. And we were too young to drink the champagne.
That's cute. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That's what they used to do back then.
Wow.
When I think about how I've changed from my 20s, I mean, I definitely am probably way more responsible than I was. But I think everybody's more responsible than when they were in their 20s, except for maybe KK, who was like raising a bunch of kids. But I do think that in my 20s was when I felt so self-conscious that I hadn't like finished my college degree and my siblings were so much further ahead of me that I just really had this like this fire under me to like really excel at whatever it is I was doing. And at the time I was working in live theater and I just really wanted to like make a name for myself in that community. And then whenever I decided to switch over to working at my current employer, like I really tried hard to make a good name for myself there. And so I think I was just so focused on kind of climbing that corporate ladder and building that reputation that I don't know. I feel like I've tried hard to, in my 30s, not backtrack. I mean, I still have a strong work ethic, but not let things stress me out as much, not feel like every failure is the end of the world. You mm-hmm. know, try to learn that like we can all grow and learn from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think in my early 20s, if I failed something, it would have just been, you know, I'd fall to pieces.
Yeah. I guess I just lived and learned with it. I mean, we all screw around and do stupid stuff as you're growing up. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. And it's interesting you said the social media thing, because I do think about like, I was a pretty sheltered kid. Like I just really didn't do a lot of partying or, you know, like it just wasn't something mm-hmm. I was doing. This was just a theater nerd. Literally at the Webster Conservatory I was at, you know, at like 1 a.m. on a Saturday night, where could you find the theater kids? In the basement of the drafting room, because we all had hand draft projects that were due to the set designers Monday morning, and we would like go down there in the middle of the night and play music and do our drafting projects. You know, like, not very exciting party scene.
I wouldn't say we partied a lot. Usually on Saturday nights, you know, we were at the racetrack. In all honesty, Cliff was pitting on a race crew, so that's where all of us girls were sitting in the stands with, you know, cheering our guys on. And then we'd go back to the house and be there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And then mm-hmm. it was like, I'm done. I'm tired.
No, I've definitely changed though from then, since my 20s, where like I'm not working into the middle of the night anymore. No. Like that's not happening. Like I want to be asleep at 11.
Yeah.
Or reading.
Yeah.
I'm better with 9. My alarm goes off at 4:30. So.
Yeah, that certainly wasn't happening in your 20s.
No.
Well, well, you had an alarm that just went off.
I was
going
to say, I was probably just getting to sleep by then. 3 kids.
These young women who are growing up now, you know, and having like their high school years and their early 20s just plastered on social media.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a whole bridge that we never had to cross. No. That they'll have to.
And I can say that my girls don't post that much. Like Em posted her concerts and stuff so that everybody could see, you know, and more, I think more of that was for her so she could remember, mm-hmm. you know, and have all those pictures there. And Cameron really doesn't post a lot either. You know, Jake is just getting to where he wants to start. You know, he's got a Snapchat now, which I'm like, yeah, I don't like. Yeah. But
yeah,
I mean, he's 13. I got to let him,
yeah,
let him go and let him, you know, do his thing. But yeah, the girls just were like not really interested in posting all that.
That's good.
Online, which I, yeah, I'm super happy about.
Yeah, that's what I hope that young women see, is like you don't have to post your life on social media. I very much use Facebook as almost a picture storage.
Yes.
Like I don't want to lose this memory.
Yep.
And yeah. Also for things, for people that I don't see super often, like all of Thor's aunts that we never really see. They live in like Rochester, New York. But, you know, I like to post pictures so they can see it, you know, yeah. So they can see what's going on. And they all comment on our pictures every time.
Yeah, that's how ours is, you know, yeah. With our family in San Diego. It's like, you know, and all over they can see stuff that we're doing. And like when the kids were playing ball, that was my, you know, when the girls were playing softball, I could post their pictures in softball and people could see what they were doing. And Jake was playing soccer, playing baseball, just doing that. And that, I really think that you're right, is using it more of like a photo storage.
Yeah.
Than really. Now I can say, honestly say, when I started using my Facebook, I see those memories that pop up and you're like, oh my God, why did I post that 10 years ago? Why nobody's going to give a crap that I'm looking at getting a margarita and having some tacos for dinner. You know, nobody's going to care.
I know. I still like that like all the time. Like I just posted a flight of mimosas. Yeah. I got at Gailey's the other day.
I liked that. Like, that was good.
A year from now, I'm going to be like, why did I post that? But my hope for young women today is that as they grow out of that phase, they are also able to just have the confidence and the ability to just not worry about it, not worry about whatever they posted in the past. Yeah. Or however, you know what I mean? Like as we all grow and mature, we change and we all post stupid things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think growing up with social media whenever you're 16, 17, 18 years old, and then you have to look back on it in your early 30s and think like, holy crap, what did I post? Like,
yep.
That's got to be hard and a challenge. And I just hope that they can just own it and let it go.
And a lot of jobs now, when you apply for jobs,
oh, yeah,
they go have, and they look, yeah. They have people that look on your social media to see stuff that you've posted. And that's one thing I told the girls too. I'm like, watch what you post, because there's, you know, your future employers.
And it's never deleted.
That stuff out. And no matter what you think is deleted, it's not there deleted. Forever. They can always find it.
And even when HR groups say, oh, we're not supposed to do that, we don't do that. They do.
It.
You know, every hiring leader, like the first thing you do is look somebody up on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. I have an article.
Imagine that.
KK's in. Okay, this is from a life coach. I've never worked with a life coach. I can see the look on KK's face. She's not impressed. But so I can't tell you if this life coach has her shit together or not, or knows what she's talking about, but it is called CoachSimona.com. But I thought that her article was pretty good. It says 30 things I wish I knew in my 20s. And she looks, I don't want to offend her, but she looks like she's probably in her late 30s at least. So yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, and I won't go through all the pre stuff. We'll post it in the Facebook, but I just thought we'd run through this list because I thought some of them were really good. And since Lauren's here, she can't tell me I can't go through a list of 30 things. So. Things she wished she knew in her 20s. You're responsible for everything that happens in your life.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I have family members like this that refuse to take responsibility for their own lives. And just like everything is somebody else's fault.
Or something that happened to them.
Or something that happened to them in the past.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no,
yeah.
We are responsible for our own lives and we got to take responsibility. And the sooner you figure that out, the sooner you quit being miserable because of something somebody else did and start being responsible for your own actions and living your own life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Life is too short. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Yes.
Well, that's easier to look back and see. You see, when you're in your 20s, it's really hard not to take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
And worry about what everyone else is thinking about you.
You feel invincible. And you're too worried about what everybody else is thinking.
So self-conscious. I was definitely a victim of that. Just always so worried about what people thought of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's out the window now.
Yeah,
but once upon a time, I was real concerned about that. Yeah. Does it make me easier to deal with?
A little. Who said you were easy? No, she actually was my easiest child.
I was the best child. Everybody heard that.
I didn't say best. I said easiest.
I was the best child.
I heard easiest, but okay.
Attachment leads to suffering. This is an interesting one. It says, we all live in fast-paced world and get bombarded with material possessions everywhere we go. I've learned the hard way that if you attach yourself to a certain lifestyle or a person, you'll inevitably suffer. So that's interesting. Maybe letting go of the physical stuff.
She says everything is temporary.
Need to learn to let go, she says.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Like, I don't think people are temporary. I might not agree with this one.
I agree with, learning to let go of some things. I agree. There are some things that are temporary and that you need to learn to let go of things, but... I kind of agree with you, maybe.
Well, the secret to life might be learning what to let go of and what to hold on to.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would agree with that.
That's a good one.
Getting real deep, guys.
Yeah.
Marriage is hard work, but it's worth it.
Yep. I would have to agree.
Yes.
How long have you been married, Amanda?
Next month, it'll be 26 years.
September 45.
45 years. Cliff's parents hit 50 last weekend.
That's crazy.
So.
What's the big secret? How do you guys stay married for so long?
He's my best friend. I mean, I've said it on here numerous times. I love spending time with him. And it's so funny because a lot of people, he's going to be mad at me for saying this, but a lot of people think that Cliff is an asshole.
Oh. Well, good news is Cliff doesn't listen to the podcast. I know.
he says he's perfected it, but.
He should meet Jeff. They would get along well.
I see it, but I also see the other side that other people don't see.
Same here.
So, you know, they think they're this tough guy and there is a soft side to him. And I see it with his kids, you know, with the kids, and I love it. So it's just, we both just enjoy spending time with each other. I think that's what I like.
Well, Jeff says, happy KK, happy life. I think it's working out pretty good.
I think it's working pretty good.
I think so too. I have no complaints.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's about marrying somebody who's a friend first, right? Somebody who you want to actually spend time with. And I also think, I mean, I agree with what she says, like marriage is hard work, but it's worth it. I mean, I think that there's a mentality and a mindset too of something that maybe a boyfriend would have done that would have really annoyed you and would have set you off into a fight. Like you find a way to love your husband's quirks and like, work around them,
mm-hmm.
or build tasks for them that you know they can complete, right? Like you just learn how to work with each other. And I think it's just about choosing not to leave, right? I mean, it's about choosing to stay and work it out and choosing to find ways to resolve issues and learning how to fight. I think it is so important for every married couple. They have to learn how to fight in ways that work for them.
Yeah.
And here, I'll tell you, Amanda, when your children get married, this is what you tell the new in-law. No take backs.
I've heard that one.
She tells him no returns.
I told them both. Listen, this is a forever.
Chris, I'm going to be honest.
Chris and Thor.
No take backs.
I've never heard her say that to Chris. But she reminds Thor almost every week. Probably because he threatens to return me every week.
Yeah, Chris hasn't got, he's like, he's probably afraid that, you know, you have those three kids back. He's like, he's not going to return her at this point.
That's funny. Oh my gosh.
The more fears you overcome, the faster you'll grow as a person.
I like that one. That's a good one.
I do too. I feel like that's so much of what you do in your early 20s is learn what you are afraid of and overcome so many things. And there's so many firsts, which can be really scary in your 20s.
Yeah.
And sometimes you never learn to overcome those fears.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're okay living with certain fears.
Yeah.
Yeah, like snakes. I'm not going to get over that one.
But But the fear of like changing careers, or
that's
the fear
a tough one.
Starting a family or commitment to a partner. I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of fears out there that are worth getting over.
Absolutely.
First mortgage, owning a car.
Yeah.
Paying your own bills.
Yeah.
All of it.
That's when you go back and go, that's the only part of my 20s I missed was
that,
not.
That started in my teens.
I didn't miss having all these responsibilities.
Right. Right. Investing in yourself pays off.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think that education in so many different ways pays off. I mean, whether it's formal education or just life experiences and just learning from your own mistakes, mm-hmm. I do think that it is definitely worth it and pays off.
Yep.
What you don't like about others is also a part of you. Oh, I think that can be true, where like you see what you don't like about others, about yourself in other people.
Yes.
Yeah. But then sometimes other people are just idiots and you don't like that about them. Kindness goes a long way.
Boy, that's the truth. If everybody would be a little bit kinder, it'd be a lot easier to work with lots of people.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier to be out in public with people that are kind.
I agree.
Yeah. And then those grumpy ones, you just kill them with kindness.
That's right.
Kind of helps you get a little bit going a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
The choices you make now will determine your future. Man, that's the truth.
True.
For your 20s, isn't it? So much of what you do in your 20s determines like your next 10, 15, 20 years.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know so many people who have so much college debt because they took out so many loans for their master's programs or just made bad decisions with cars. I mean, yeah, it definitely, whatever you decide to do now will affect the future.
Yep.
Learn how to take care of yourself. No one else will do it for you.
Boy, that no truer words have ever been
right,
said.
Right. Yeah. That is.
I love that
true.
One. I mean, your own mental health, physical health, your own work-life balance. I mean, just standing up for yourself, for the things you believe in.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Trust your friends, but trust your gut more.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have to agree with that.
Always go with your gut.
I agree. I mean, I think there's very few times that your gut reaction's not right. I mean, if there's a gut reaction that a person's maybe not good people, or this decision's not great, or this job isn't worth it, like, go with your gut.
Yeah. Yep.
Social media is ruining your life.
Absolutely.
It's the next one.
Freaking-lutely.
Yes. I think we covered that one already, but yes, get off the social media. Yeah. It's not worth it. What are you really putting out there anyway? Like, what do you need out there? Go have real experiences.
Yeah. Don't live through the computer and the screen. Hide behind the keyboard and
Be on the people that are on their phone all the time.
Yeah.
It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Go out, live the experiences. It kills me when I see a couple go to dinner and they're both sitting there on their phones. Yeah. I'm like, have a conversation. How can you be how can you grow as a couple but you're not even talking to each other.
There's a no phone rule at my house.
Yeah. We don't.
I'm preparing a meal and we're sitting down. I'm like, no phones.
Yep. Yeah. We don't do phones at dinner either.
We don't do phones at dinner either. Thor and I, neither one are big social media people, though. Mm-hmm. Now, Thor is almost always on his iPad playing a game.
Yeah.
But
not while we are eating.
Not while we're eating. That's true.
That time is sacred. You don't get that back.
True.
So.
Okay. I really like this next one, too. Everything is a trade-off. You will have to pay a certain price.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like that your 20s is when to learn that, because everything is, and time is so hard. Like, time is probably the thing I have the least amount of. And I feel like, if I work late on a work project, then I'm taking time away from whatever else I could be doing, maybe reading my book that I want to read, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I go shopping with mom all day Saturday, then I'm taking time away from spending time with Thor, right? Mm-hmm. And so everything's about choosing.
Right.
If I leave my mom's house early on a Sunday to come home and do laundry, I miss out on family time. Right. I mean, like, everything's about choosing. Everything has a price.
Right.
And you have to decide what you're willing to pay.
Yeah.
I have a washer and dryer. You can bring your laundry.
You want me to haul my laundry over to your house every Sunday?
Sure.
And just wash clothes while I'm over there.
Yeah. It's like a 55, 60 minute cycle you can be relaxing during.
I feel like your laundry goes all the time, doesn't it?
It used to. I used to do the grandchildren's laundry.
Oh, wow.
Until I had this.
This is a crazy story. Like, for years, she did their laundry. Tell her why.
Well, because Jolie was such a bad sleeper. She was up all the time and Jesse was exhausted. And so I said, just bring it and I'll do their laundry. Uh-huh. And so it just, she had three kids and 18 months apart. Boom, boom, boom.
That's bullshit. That is not the reason. Maybe that's why it started, because Jolie did. She was a very colicky baby and she was a bad sleeper. And my poor sister was exhausted. But no, for sure, mom kept doing the laundry because Jessie decided that she could just use normal detergent for the baby clothes. And mom thought that was the end of the world and it had to have the Dreft.
Yes. Yeah. And do you know, I still wash their sheets with Dreft crystals.
Do you really?
Yes. And the Jolie goes, oh, I love that my blankets when they smell like this.
Okay, that's really cute.
Ridiculous.
Oh, you're saying ridiculous. That. You wait.
She'll be like, Mom, yep. I'm out of Dreft crystals. Don't worry, Jordan. I will go to the store and buy those for you.
No, make her go to the store and do it. Stop enabling her.
She doesn't leave here. I'll do your baby's laundry. Don't worry.
I do not need you to do my baby's laundry.
It's not a need. It's about a want.
I know, because you're crazy with babies.
No.
Oh, this is a really good one. And I feel like it's a good lesson to learn at any age. If you feel lost, you're not living according to your values.
Yeah, but when you're in your 20s, do you really know what your values are?
Oh, that's very insightful, KK.
Because you're still learning your values.
Exactly.
Because we're still stupid in our 20s.
And you're refining them.
Yeah.
But I think that's such a good point. And if you feel lost, then obviously you're not living according to whatever value you're developing, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think values change.
Oh, I definitely think
as life experiences happen.
You may have the best intentions, but still make a mess out of things. Welcome to the Hot Mess Roundtable.
I was thinking when we read that, I went, this was written for us.
Like tonight, we had the best intentions to record this podcast and we were going to make Lauren so proud so she didn't have to worry about it. And we have screwed everything up at every single turn. The entire electricity went out in my house and we had to stop. And we're just kind of hoping the first half of this podcast recorded. And it's available.
It'll be good. Hey, we're living up to our...
There's the sound of the computer finally restarting.
We're living up to our name. And welcome to our hot mess.
And we were in the basement in the dark.
In the dark.
We were in the basement in the dark.
But at least the cat was already gone.
That would have been perfect.
No matter how bad it gets, there's always something to be grateful for.
That's looking at the silver lining and everything.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think that is like such a good life lesson and just a good motto. Like just to always be grateful for what you have, because it can always get worse. If you're experiencing burnout, focus on your basic needs.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And so often I think people think when they're burnout, okay, I work with an executive who talks a lot about burnout and he always says that people focus on, I need a vacation. Mm-hmm. When they feel burnout, they think, I just need a 2-week vacation and I'll be better. Or I need to get out of the country or go lay on a beach somewhere or whatever that looks like for you. But really burnout is about really focusing on your day-to-day needs and a 1 week or 2 week vacation is not going to
get rid of it.
It's not. Mm-mm. Not until you make sure that you're actually taking care of your basic fundamental needs. Nothing's going
to
change.
And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. You know, if you could do a normal 5-day week, take a day.
Well, and I mean, combating burnout is a lot more about, you know, what is it that's burning you out? I mean, are you working late every single night and missing dinner with your family? Like, how do you adjust that so that you get home?
You've got to have that work-life balance.
Make time to exercise your body and make time to eat breakfast in the mornings or grab that cup of coffee or whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah.
Making time for those basic things. Your past experiences don't define who you are. You define who you are. Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to learn. You don't know that in your 20s.
No, you don't.
You learn that by looking back to your 20s.
Yes.
I feel like it took me most of my 30s to learn that. I mean, I do feel like that's really hard to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I'm just learning that.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Do 1% less of the bad things and 1% more of the good things.
Well, learning what the bad things are and what the good things are sometimes difficult.
That's true. But I mean, I think that's such good advice even now. Like even when you think about like, what are your goals now? Like, I want to lose weight. Well, eat 1% less of the chocolate and move your body 1% more.
Well, I'd rather eat 1% less of the bread than the chocolate. Okay.
Even the most talented person can't beat the hard worker. Oh, that's so true.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that.
I think work ethic is so important. And if you're willing to work for what you want, then
yes,
you can learn the talent.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay. And it ends with a really good one.
Yeah.
Don't listen to anyone who tells you that your dreams are too big.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. Okay, KK, one of the best things that you taught me growing up was she had this great saying, and tell them your alarm clock saying.
Oh. Do anything you want for a job, but just make sure that it is a job that when your alarm clock goes off in the morning, you want to get up and go to work.
That is good.
It's so good. So when I was thinking I was going to go be in live theater for a living, and I was going to go to the school that only accepted 5 people into this ridiculous live theater program a year and refused to have a backup program, instead of my parents being like, that's the dumbest thing we've ever heard of, they kept telling me that. And she kept saying, like, you can do anything you want. You just have to be happy and be willing to get up and do the work.
Right.
And I feel like even though I end up going away from live theater as a career, I still think about that all the time. Okay, honestly, looking back on it, like, why did you let me do that?
Well, number one, did we ever think you were going to get into that program?
I did.
And she did. And to tell somebody else, this is what we want you to do,
yeah,
is never going to do well.
No.
She had to learn that on her own.
Absolutely.
I knew that was a bad school. I'm not kidding you. When we drove her up there, I cried all the way back to Rolla, like cried.
Oh.
And I said, man, am I ever going to get over this? And Jeff said, well, you're either going to get over it or you're going to die. But yeah, no, I never felt like that was the right program for her. But to tell her no didn't seem like that was, I mean, I felt like that would just push her the other way.
Yes.
And I didn't want to do that.
We've had a couple conversations like that. It's like, you know, girls will come in and say, oh, I'm going to go do this. And Cliff, no, that's just stupid. And I turn, I'm like, don't ever tell them that it's stupid. If it's something that they want to do, let them do it. And if they decide that, yeah, that was really stupid, it's their decision, not yours.
Yeah, it's their mistake to make.
And then he turns around and looks at me and goes, yeah, I really wish somebody would have told me that when I said, oh, I'm going to be a mechanic.
I still say, though, everything I learned from live theater, I mean, it makes me so good at business administration today. I mean, the lessons I learned through that. And if I never would have gone to Webster and done an internship at Silver Dollar City, I never would have met Thor, and mm-hmm. we never would have gotten married.
Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn from those things. And that's like the best thing you can tell somebody is, yeah, it's gonna suck, maybe, kind of, sort of, but you'll learn so much from it.
Right.
What's that sound?
Hot Mess Express pulling into the station.
Choo-choo.
Oh, this is a good one.
This is such a good one.
This is a good one. This is local.
Local. We don't have very... Have we ever done a local one?
No, we have not.
Oh, this is the first time?
This is the first time. And I think Lauren found this one because I didn't put this on here. Did you put this on here?
I didn't put it on here. I think Lauren's doing the Lord's work out here. This is from KY3. posted by Michael Hoffman, and it says, driver damages construction project in Springfield, Mo by driving through wet concrete. The best part is, this is not just like, oh, there's tire tracks through this concrete. Like,
oh, no.
This is a full on, like, tiny little sporty looking car.
Yeah.
Trapped in the concrete.
Yeah. Like, sunk down mid tire in the concrete.
This is another one of those. Him.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. This is another one of those, like, hashtag related.
And this was this was just posted last month, by the way. So. It was published March 13th of 2024.
I love it. Okay, well, we're obviously going to put it in the Facebook group so you guys can see the picture.
Yeah.
Read it to us, Amanda.
All righty. So, a construction project at a busy Springfield intersection may take slightly longer than expected after a driver went through the cones and ended up in freshly laid concrete. The foreman says this is just one of many instances where drivers disregard the cones and signs in these construction zones, making the job harder and putting workers in danger. Read the signs, says Capital Paving Concrete Foreman Rodney Wall. The speed limits are posted for a reason. You know, job sites are usually 25 to 35 miles an hour, and that's just so you have time to react. Everybody needs to be paying attention to each other and just slowing down when you're going through these job sites. The project at Republic Road and Campbell is to improve traffic flow by adding lanes. On Tuesdays, crews working on the busy intersection spent the days laying concrete in one of the turn lanes, but by 5:30 p.m. they saw a dark colored Acura stuck in the muck. It was pretty demoralizing, said Wall. We just sent the guys home and got a phone call. I was sitting right over there doing some time and looked over and saw her sitting in the concrete. So, I mean, it just happened just like that in a matter of 15 minutes. Guaranteed she was on her phone.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed she was on her phone, not paying attention.
This really is, though, like something I would do. This is rough, but I feel like this is like totally something I would do.
What's even funnier is I drove by this.
Oh, did you really? I did.
I saw it because I was driving. I'm like, why is traffic so backed up here? You know, they're doing all that construction right there anyways. Yeah. And I was coming out of the car wash right there and I was like, holy shit, there's a car in the concrete.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wonder what our insurance agent's thinking now.
It took an hour to get the car towed out, and by then the damage was done and couldn't be fixed. And it's not the first time someone has ignored the cones around these projects.
Now, do we think that's the damage? That's going to be damage to the car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not to the sidewalk. You just lay more concrete. Right?
Yeah. He says, we don't put these cones up for fun, concrete finisher Corbin Scott said. I mean, it's kind of annoying to have to keep putting them back up every time someone hits them. I mean, it's an everyday thing. It's not like we want to put them there just for no reason. There's a reason. And people walking through our concrete, driving through it, those are setbacks all the time.
And that just costs the city more money to have to redo that.
Well, yeah. And then it takes even longer. And so then everyone's inconvenienced even longer.
Yeah.
There's a bridge by my mom's house that's like, was just being built forever. And then they finally got it built. And then a big truck drove into it. And so that it had to be completely redone.
Oh, my God.
And so it's just been under construction like the entire time, like just forever. And it cracks me because like we'll drive by there a lot and somebody keeps like just pulling the blocks out and just driving through and just leaving it unblocked. And I always think like, how dangerous is that? That like you're putting other people in danger because they don't realize that they're not supposed to be on that bridge. And, yeah. Like, it's a bridge.
It's a bridge.
And it's
yeah.
not safe.
Yeah.
It's a flyover over 60 highway.
Uh-huh.
And that concrete truck hit it.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the one she's talking about. They're working on it again. So they close it off at some points, but then they open it during the day so you can fly, yeah. go over there. But there was a time when it was closed and people were moving it and driving over it when nobody knew if it was safe or not.
And then just leaving the cones out so other people would know.
They're thinking, the cones are gone. We can go that way.
Drive over it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrifying.
Okay, you guys got to watch for construction. There's more to the story. We'll post it. We'll post the rest of it in the Facebook group so you can read the whole thing. But, you know, no matter how bad of a week you're having, you probably didn't drive into concrete, get stuck for over an hour, and permanently damage your car. So there's that. But somebody in Springfield did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Probably totaled her car.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Yep. Way to go.
Okay, guys, we love it whenever you send us Hot Mess Express stories, and we're loving the ones that we're getting. So please email us hotmessexpressstories@hotmessroundtable@gmail.com, or you can post them in our Facebook. We look forward to interacting with everyone on the Facebook group. Please let us know where else you want to see us, what other social media apps you want to see us on. And of course, thank you to our special guest host who came in and stood in last minute for us. Thank you, KK,
Thanks,
for being
KK.
With us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye, guys.